Romans chapter 1, those first seven verses. And basically, just to recap a little bit, this is Paul's introduction to Romans, which again, I will say, is better than most people's sermons. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship, for obedience to the faith among all nations, for his name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Kind of left off with the fourth verse. Jesus Christ declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. Jesus Christ was not made the Son of God. No one makes Jesus Christ anything. No one makes Jesus Christ anything. You don't accept him as your Savior, and you don't make him your Lord. That's a lie. He's your Lord before he becomes your Savior. Because he was Lord before the foundation of the world. He was also Savior before the foundation of the world. And tell me to explain how time works. Well, it doesn't work for him the same way it works for us. We're stuck in it. He's not. He's eternal. We're not. Jesus Christ was declared to be the Son of God because he is the Son of God. He was the Son of God. He ever shall be the Son of God. Now it says he was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. But not according to the flesh. He's the Son of God. The Admon, what was it, Admon Cadmon, Earl used to always say? The God-man. Jesus Christ existed before Jesus Christ was born. Now if I could explain it, I could get somewhere. But even if I could explain it perfectly, that sign on that church down the road where it says, "Why I believe," it wouldn't help him. It wouldn't help him. What was it Abraham told that rich man in hell about Lazarus? Though one rose from the dead, they won't believe it. And guess what? Declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, and they still don't believe. Sometimes that's a better question than why don't I believe? Because if you're worried about that, you're worried about the right thing. Jesus Christ was not made the Son of God. He was the Son of God. Anyhow, he was made the Son of God with power. Jesus Christ, I said, is the power of creation. A lot of people don't understand that. See, they think Jesus Christ never existed in the Old Testament, Mason. See, he says, in the beginning God made the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void. See, that's God. That's not Jesus. Keep reading. It'll tell you. Jesus Christ, declared the Son of God with power. He rose, how do you say it? He raised, I'm trying to use the right word, Lazarus from the dead while he was still walking on this earth. He told them beforehand, the Father quickens and I can quicken. Anything the Father can do, I can do.
Amen.
And they took up stones to stone him, usually when he said that. Jesus Christ had power on this earth. Power that we don't understand, we don't comprehend, and we don't see these days. But it takes that very same power to give life to a dead alien sinner. It takes the power of God, the power of Jesus Christ, the power of the Holy Spirit to give life. And he has that power, declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. For as the Father raises up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. That's the other part people don't like. John 17:2, he said, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as accept him as his personal Savior. To as many as thou, the Father, hast given him, the Son. Who's going to believe? Who's going to have life? As many as the Father gave him. Those are the words of Christ. Not my words, not Walter's words, not Earl's words, not anybody else's words, unless we're repeating them, which is what we're supposed to do. As many as thou hast given him, that's who he's going to give eternal life to. Not one more, not one less. And not when you want, but when he wants. Not when I want, but when he wants. It's his world. We're just living in it. He made it for his own pleasure. He made us for his own pleasure. And to show forth his mercy and his grace on some. And if that's exclusionary, that's exclusionary, and we just got to deal with it. There's a reason this is a small group. And it doesn't have to do with my lack of charisma. Okay, maybe a little bit. But that's okay. The world will not have this truth that Jesus Christ is God and that he does what he wants, when he wants, wherever he wants, with whomever he wants. Because he has the power. He has the right. The potter has power over the clay to make one lump unto honor and one lump unto dishonor. And they both came out of the same lump. I am no different than anybody out there. In and of myself, I am no different than the heathen Hottentot. I am no different than the Buddhist. I am no different than the Muslim, except for the fact that God has granted me life and given me faith, and I believe him. And the difference is in him, it's not in me. And that's all I got. It's his work. Everything's in him. That's what the next verse says. By whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. Now this is Paul referring to himself. I have not received apostleship. But the first two words of that verse is what counts. By whom? It's by Jesus Christ. That's it. It's by him. It is by Jesus Christ. Everything that believers have, that Paul had, that was worthwhile, to use the word, that was good, came from Christ and his grace. It doesn't say through Christ. It says by Christ. There's a lot more to it. There's a lot of people trying to go through Christ. There's a lot of people trying to use his name. There's a lot of people who do use his name, and we are told not to mess with them. If one of them comes and says, "Lo, here he is," don't hear him. Don't hear him. Listen, when Jesus Christ comes and you're one of his, you're going to know who he is. Because he's going to come in like manner as you see him go. You're going to see him in the air. You're not going to see him on the ground first. You're going to see him in the air. And the reason you're going to see him in the air is because that's where you're going. Amen. By his power. Everything comes by him. Paul's grace, Paul's apostleship, our grace, our mercy that we have, we've been given, comes by Christ. Mm-hmm. By him. By whom? And guess what comes first after that statement? Grace. I like that. It's not apostleship and grace. It was grace and apostleship. Grace always comes first. Grace has to come first. Otherwise, it's works. That's your two choices. It's either grace or it's works. Paul says it's by grace. Jesus Christ said it's by grace. This book from beginning to end, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. It all starts at grace for us. Because that's what we need. For them, it starts in power. For God, it starts in power. Jesus Christ, it starts in power. But for us, it starts with grace, which comes from his power. But for us, grace does come first. Everything that every believer has or will have is from him, by him, by his grace. Everything comes for and to the believer by the Son of God because of his power, according to the Spirit of holiness, and through his grace to everyone that the Father gave him. Faith comes by him. Love comes by him. Life starts it off, comes by him. Peace comes from him, by him. Joy comes by him. And all this is because redemption came by him. From his sufferings on the cross, his death on the cross, and his acceptance is shown by the resurrection from the dead. And then this next statement, for obedience to the faith. Just a nice little quiet statement. We don't receive anything by obedience. Okay? You won't hear that anywhere else but in a grace church. I can tell you that right now. Because they don't know what it means. They think grace is that God saves you when you ask for it. I have been there. I have heard this repeatedly through several dozen verses of Just As I Am. Not that there's anything wrong with the song, but you get kind of tired of it after the 15th or 16th verse. And nobody will come to the front and let Jesus Christ save them like they should. What's the matter with you people? Are you stupid? No, they're dead. That's the problem. You're dead. If I can take the first step and God will meet me, I don't need the first steps come out of the grave. Henry Mahan said that on a tape that I heard years ago, and it's still in my brain. And it's still true. The first step is life. Amen. Because we, as we are born, are dead in trespasses and sins to God. I can't make the first step. I can pray the sinner's prayer till I'm blue in the face. Anybody can play repeat after me. Jesus Christ said, don't pray that way. Repeat after me. Life and faith is come before for obedience. We don't obey to get anything. We can't obey to get anything. Even after we're saved, it says, it's Him working in me both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Walter, that whole thing about it's not acting humble to say you're an unprofitable servant when you know you are an unprofitable servant. See, people think it's false humility. They're just being humble. No, we're being real. I don't do anything in and of myself that is pleasing to God. I can't do anything in and of myself that is pleasing to God, and you can't do anything in and of yourself that's pleasing to God. And it's easier for me to talk about me than it is to talk about you. But I know it's true. Everything has to come from Him. Everything comes from Him, and grace comes first. For obedience to the faith. Paul had received grace by Christ and apostleship. He had by Christ received grace for obedience to the faith. Paul doesn't say anything about receiving anything for obedience to the faith there. Because he did. Everything he had was for the obedience of the faith. The gift of God leads unto obedience. And then this next statement, which is where I want to be, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. Believers are the called of Jesus Christ. Amen. That's us. And we are among whom? I like that. This is the company we keep. That's good news. This is the company we keep. We are brothers and sisters of the Apostle Paul in Christ. I have brothers and sisters who wrote this book. That's good company, Mason. Believers are among each other. Among whom? Because we are related to one another in Christ. We are, believers are, the family of God. That is who we are among. God's family. Christ's family. He is not ashamed to call us brethren. And believers are to love one another. And believers do love one another. The same Christ that saved Paul and called Paul calls and saves each and every single individual sheep. Amen. And there's only one fold. And there's only one shepherd. That's it. That's who we're among. So when you know, sometimes you think about it, I mean, we're not the mightiest in number of the churches. But we are part of a multitude that no man can number. Amen. That one day will be standing, flying in front of Lord Jesus Christ. That's amazing to me. That is just simply amazing to me. That one day we are going to be a part of a multitude no man can number. When sometimes on this earth, when we're not gathered together, you feel like you're almost completely alone, surrounded by strangers at best and enemies at worst. I can't be myself at work. Well, I could, but it wouldn't last long. I don't talk about religion at work. They won't hear it. And it's casting pearls before swine. I'm not supposed to cast pearls before swine. I will throw out a statement. Deb caught me at it the other day. I'll throw out a statement every now and then. And if somebody's paying attention or somebody's got a question, they can ask me and I'll answer. But most of the time it just goes, or just right on by, just like that. But sometimes you get a nibble. Most of the time, they don't even know you're fishing. Because the bait you got, they ain't attracted to.
Right, man. That's right.
I can't catch dead fish. Okay, I don't want to catch dead fish. You can. There's churches down the road plumb full of them. But, I tell you, dead fish stink. And so does the message that they flock to. Because it's not the message of Jesus Christ. It just floors me sometimes when I think about the fact that I am among the saints of God here in this building. And in all reality, seriously reality, I got a brother named Abraham. I got a brother named Isaac. I got a brother named Israel. Used to be called Jacob. I got a brother named Paul, used to be Saul.
Yeah.
I got a sister named Mary Magdalene. Mm-hmm. And when you stop and you think about stuff like that, it kind of, like, why am I here? Mm-hmm. How did I get into this outfit? Well, luckily, it wasn't my call. It's by Him. By whom? We have grace. By Him, and among whom are ye? Because we are, believers are, the family of God, and that is the best company that there is. Among whom are ye also, the called of Jesus Christ. Everybody gets called, don't you know that? Not this way. I mentioned the shepherd. He calls each and every individual sheep by name. By name. He knows who you are before you know who he is. He knew you before the foundation of the world. He knew each and every one of his sheep from before the foundation of the world. And he calls them by name. And what's he say? He says, my sheep hear my voice, and a stranger they won't follow. Now, Walter, I believe you can be in an Armenian church and be the called of Christ. Because I was at one time with him. I was, because I didn't know any better and they hadn't kicked me out yet. I left willingly. It's time to go. It's his call that matters.
Yeah.
It's not even your answer that matters, because your answer is what I like to call a sure thing. Because when he calls, you'll answer. When he calls, you'll live. And I passed by, and you were polluted in your own blood, and I said unto thee, live. And guess what happened? They lived. Every single individual of his will hear his voice and shall live and shall follow the shepherd. And there's one fold and there's one shepherd. He said, that other sheep I have, this is his sheep. They were his sheep then. He didn't stop there. When he said, other sheep I have, he said, them I must bring. And that's what he's doing. Because that's what the shepherd does. The shepherd gathers his sheep. It's the call of God manifest in the flesh. It will be answered. Because, it even says it in the Old Testament, my word shall not return unto me void. It shall accomplish everything that he wanted it to accomplish. Everything. Among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. That's what believers are. That's who believers are. And that's whom we are among. That is a really nice feeling when you kind of get a little bit of a hold on it. There are some days where things don't go quite so well. But that's mostly when I'm focused on me and my problems. But if you ever get a chance, you sit down and you ponder who your new family is and where they are now and where you're going later. It gives you a little bit of joy.
Yeah.
A little bit of hope. A lot of hope. Yeah. A little bit of peace. And it puts a smile on my face. I can't speak for anybody else, but I like that feeling. And I like that knowledge that I, here in wherever we are, West Virginia, Crow, West Virginia right now, from Princeton, West Virginia, have got a brother named Paul the Apostle. And Peter and James and John and Noah and Isaac and Abraham and Moses and the whole family of God is my family. That is whom we are among by Him. He put us in there. Not because we were worthy, but because He wanted us in there. He loved us, and He gave Himself for us, just like everyone else in this book. That was His sacrifice for us, the whole family of God. Our Father, we're thankful again for Your Son, our Lord, who did create the heavens and the earth, but also created us, chose us from before the foundation of the world, bought us with His precious blood, and has saved us. And there's a salvation yet to be revealed, and we're waiting on that. Thank You, Lord. In His name we pray. Amen.